From the United Kingdom, this is the Hawthorne Report. News and analysis from a white nationalist perspective. Insights and commentary that affect your lives. News for you, uncensored by the Jew. And here's your host, James Hawthorne.
Welcome to the Hawthorne Report, everybody. This is your news portal without the Jewish filter. That's right, there's no Jew between me and you. Top stories. Race clashes hit Windsor. Boy snatched up street, set alight and murdered for being white. Immigration under the spotlight in Belgian elections. Nationalists woo in a tolerant city. Far-right party calls for Jews to join war on Islam. German nationalists in paradise. Last stand for Zimbabwe's white farmers. Number one story is the major scenes happening in Great Britain right now in the once first city of Windsor. Windsor is the home of the Queen, Windsor Castle. This report is coming from the Evening Standard, so beware of the Jewish influences in regards to this story, but I'll read the whole story. It's very, very interesting. Race clashes hit Windsor. Extra police are being drafted into the Windsor area today after three nights of violent clashes between white and Asian youths. Gangs have fought battles in the streets using baseball bats and pitchforks. A Muslim-run dairy which wants to build a mosque was petrol-bombed. Dozens of officers have been deployed to stop and search youths, and mounted police are being brought in. The Queen usually spends weekends at Windsor Castle, and no decision has yet been taken over whether she would change her plans. A senior source said, quote, "We are aware of what is happening and all the appropriate security measures are in place," unquote. Tensions have been growing between residents and the owners of the dairy, who have applied to convert an office building into a mosque for their workers. Despite a lack of planning permission to use Techno House as a place of worship, workers and visitors have been praying there. Violence flared for the first time on Monday outside the building in Vale Road in the Dedworth area of Windsor. There was an altercation between a teenage boy and dairy staff during prayers. It escalated and the three windows of several vehicles were smashed. Amid claims that the boy, his mother and teenage sister were assaulted, up to 50 young people clashed on Tuesday night. Windows of the makeshift mosque and dairy vehicles were smashed. Residents said gangs of Asian youths travelled from Slough to fight the white gang. One youth was reportedly arrested for carrying a 12-inch knife. Dairy manager Sikna Khan, 50, said the 50 predominantly Asian workers at the dairy were not worried about their safety. The firebomb attack took place on Wednesday night, Mr. Khan said, that the youths threw a petrol bomb at us. The flames damaged the front of the building, but we were unable to put it out with a fire extinguisher. Workers are fearful now because we are under attack. Nearby, one hooded youth claimed the problems had started after the previous owners Express Dairies left. The 17-year-old said, I've been here all my life and there was no problems with the old owners. They used to give us milk and stuff. We have had a couple of fights with this lot before, but now they're taking it seriously. We want them out of Dedworth, unquote. Police stopped cars full of white youths and searched them as other officers photographed and videotaped them. Several youths hurled racist abuse at the dairy from their cars as police looked on. A woman living nearby who did not want to be named said the trouble started on Monday. The following nights, numbers on both sides had swelled and there was large-scale brawling. Quote, on Monday, three young lads, about 15 or so, were in Shirley Avenue when the men came out of prayers and attacked them with pitchforks, baseball bats and iron bars, she said. Whether they were provoked or not, I do not know. I'm worried that if they allow the mosque, things will get worse, unquote. Other residents said that the late night noise from the dairy was driving them out of their homes and they feared a mosque would make things worse. A spokesman for Thames Valley Police said, quote, "We are investigating incidents of disorder and criminal damage on Monday and Tuesday nights. These have involved groups are predominantly white and Asian teenagers as a result of the disorder. One business and at least five vehicles have been damaged, unquote. He added, "We will monitor the situation and are working with the community, the business and the local authority to prevent further disorder." This probably means that they're probably going to be clamping down on the white youths. A 16-year-old boy arrested on Tuesday night was charged with possessing an offensive weapon. There were two other arrests, including one for common assault, and 22 have been searched by police. Three youths are in custody today after the petrol bomb attack. The unrest came the day after David Cameron waded into the debate over multiculturalism, saying there could be no place for communities living parallel lives in Britain. Earlier this week, the Queen gave permission to convert a room at Windsor Castle into a prayer room. A prayer room for Christians? No, a prayer room for Muslims. The room in the Saxon Tower allows Najna Chowdhury, who works in the castle gift shops, to carry out the half-hour lunchtime prayer, which is required of all Muslims during Ramadan. So here we have it, folks. Clashes between youths, white youths and Asian youths over this dairy, which has been turned into a mosque. And Asians are flooding into the area to pray, as is this is the season of Ramadan, apparently. A white Western Christian civilization, its leaders are kowtowing to Muslims. That's what it's all about in Great Britain right now, and also in Europe. The founders of our nations would be turning over in their graves if they could see what these lackeys of multiculturalism are trying to do. They're trying to force something that does not work. Multiculturalism does not work. Multiracialism does not work. And proof, if proof is needed, clashes between white youths and Asians tells a story. Because these youths that are battling in the streets are battling for white Britain, for white Christian civilization on the streets with these Asians, these Muslims. Now, these youths were brought up on MTV and the usual Murray Rothstein garbage, which is flowing freely on the television. Yeah, these youths know instinctively, they instinctively know that this invasion by Muslims and non-whites into white Britain is wrong. Multiculturalism is a lie. Multiracialism is a lie. And we give here at the Hawthorne Report, we give two big thumbs up to the youths who are taking the fight to the street. And we would like more of it. A boy snatched off street is the second story in the Hawthorne Report. Satellite and murder for being white. This is the hushed up story, which is getting some media play now. This is from the Scotsman newspaper. A murdered schoolboy Chris Donald pleaded, "I am only 15, what did I do?" as he was beaten up and dragged into the back of a car by his abductors, a court heard yesterday. He was forced face down into the back of a silver Mercedes, threatened with a knife and told there was a gun in the car as he was driven off after being snatched from the street because he was white. It is alleged that Chris was later set on fire and murdered. In the days following the discovery of his body, friends and family created an impromptu shrine featuring photographs and football colours. A witness told the court that one of the gang had said he took it quietly. One of the co-accused, Danish Zahid, who was named as an alleged accomplice in the current trial, also on trial, Imran Shahid Mohammed Faisal Mustaq, Zihan Shahid, all deny racially aggravated murder. All three are on trial in Edinburgh, accused of abducting and killing Chris by striking him with a knife or knives and then setting him on fire on the 15th of March in the year 2004. Mohammed said that in March 2004 he was subject to a tagging order for motoring offences and possession of a knife. On Monday 15th of March he went to Mustaq's house in the Polk Sheeds area. The Shahid brothers were there and Zahid joined them later. Mohammed described Imran Shahid, known as Baldy, as quite angry and added, he said he got attacked with a glass bottle the night before outside a nightclub by the boys from McCulloch Street, Polk Shields. The witness said the McCulloch Street boys were white and Imran Shahid had vowed that he was going to take revenge and would chop them up, take their eyes out, things like that. It was planned that the group would go out in a car and look in McCulloch Street for them, anybody. Mohammed said Imran Shahid asked for weapons and Mustaq took a hammer and a screwdriver from a toolbox. They were put in a blue carrier bag. Mohammed gave Imran Shahid a knife and helped him to dye his blonde hair back to its natural colour. They all get into a silver Mercedes, drove to McCulloch Street, where they saw two boys, now known to be Chris Donald and a friend Jamie Wallace, turning into Kenmure Street. Imran Shahid said to let him out and begin fighting with the boys, especially Chris. Mohammed agreed with a description of Imran Shahid, billed as massive, and said Chris was quite small and could not fight back. Imran Shahid pushed Chris into the car while Mustaq pulled him in from the other side. The advocate deputy, Mark Stewart QC, asked how successful Chris was in resisting Mohammed, and Mohammed replied, very little. Mohammed said he had never met him before the incident. He agreed that nothing would have happened if Chris and his friend had been Chinese, African American, or Asian. He said they were targeted because they were white. Mr. Stewart asked if Chris had said anything. Mohammed answered yes. He said, I'm only 15. What did I do? Or something like that. Chris was scrunched down in the footwell of the rear of the car, facing the floor. He was scared. Mohammed said that both he and Imran Shahid punched Chris in the back, and Imran Shahid said, I'm Baldy, no one fucks with me. Also, Imran Shahid pressed the point of a knife against Chris's back and asked if he could feel it. The car went to a flat in the park area, but no one was at home. A number of phone calls were made to try to find a place or park or something to batter Chris. Imran Shahid threatened Chris to force him to name the people from where the previous night. Chris appeared to know what he was talking about and gave a few names. Mohammed said he was dropped off at Strathclyde Park because he had to come home in time for his tagging curfew. Next day, he went to Mustaq's flat and spoke to Zihan Shahid, known as Crazy. I asked what had happened, Crazy said. He took it quietly. Mr. Stewart ended by asking Mohammed, is the evidence you have given here today sworn in the Holy Quran the truth? Mohammed replied, yes. David Burns, QC for Imran Shahid, said Mohammed had done a deal with the prosecution by which he received a 5-year sentence and agreed to give evidence against the others. You know you would get life imprisonment if convicted of murder, much less if you pleaded to something else, asked Mr. Burns. Mohammed said yes. Donald Finley, QC for Mustaq, accused the witness of being a liar, pure and simple, and someone who was cunning and conniving. The witness denied it. Mr. Finley continued, coincidentally, you were released from prison in England the day before you gave evidence and got a lift here from the police. He said Mohammed's account, he might have supplied the weapon which killed Chris, up to your neck in an understatement, accused Mr. Finley. Mohammed agreed with Norman Ritchie, QC for I can't even pronounce these Pakistani Asian names, it's ridiculous. Zihan Shahid, that he had been granted parole at the first time of asking in a police agreement that offered him a new home and a new identity when the trial ends. So there you have it. This is one of the stories that the major mainstream press from London, we call it here the Fleet Street Press, has been unreported for the most part. This hideous murder of this young white man, Chris Donald, and as the report said, he was stabbed repeatedly, he was set on fire and murdered, and his body was thrown out onto a grass verge, as if it was just another piece of rubbish. As I said before, this news story has been utterly. Being not reported by the press from London, and it just reinforces the anti-white bias of this traitorous media we have in all our great white lands. Belgian Euro News reports immigration under the spotlight in Belgian elections. Nationalism and immigration have resurfaced as the main issues in the municipal elections. They have been at the top of the agenda for far-right Flemish Nationalist Party, Vlaams Belang, which have been supported in every election since the 1980s. Leader Philip de Winter pulled no punches during the campaign. He made it clear the political establishment must take into account the interests of the silent majority of native Europeans who are suffering with the increasing illegal immigration, which brings to us, as we all know, criminality and political correctness of the most extreme nature. Opponents of Vlaams Belang, which want an independent state, spoke for fear it could become the biggest party in Flanders. Also on this story, the London Times is reporting after the recent arrival of about 40,000 African immigrants, increased racial tension is dominating regional elections, which the Vlaams Belang, known as the Flemish Interest Party, is given 35% support in the polls, a figure that is only dreamt of by other so-called quote-unquote far-right parties, as the media likes to report us as being, which we are not. We are nationalists, but not far right. In the elections on Sunday, the Vlaams Belang is expected to win up to 3 of Antwerp's 9 districts outright. Mr. De Winter hopes that the electoral arithmetic will make him mayor. He sees his party with its plans to stop benefits for jobless immigrants and a refusal to recognize Islam as an official religion as part of a resurgence of a modern, efficient far-right across Europe. Support for Jean-Marie Le Pen is running at 15% in France, and the quote-unquote here neo-Nazi National Democratic Party won 7% of the votes in a German regional election last month. Mr. De Winter is now wooing Antwerp's 20,000-strong Jewish Orthodox community for the extra votes he needs to win. Quote, "We have a good relationship with some of the Jewish leaders, and I think we are allies in our struggle for our European and Western identity. For me, Europe is Rome, Greece, the Enlightenment, and it is the Jewish Christian roots of our culture, so I don't have a problem with the Jews in Europe, not at all. We are allies against the main enemy of the moment, the radical Islam fundamentalism." Now, De Winter, I don't know what the hell he's talking about here, but if he truly believes this, the statement, "For me, Europe is Rome, Greece, and Enlightenment, and it is the Jewish Christian roots of our culture." If he truly believes that, then this Vlaams Belang has not only been infiltrated, it's been taken over, because statements like that are not what we want to hear from a Nationalist Party leader. That also would make the top story in The Independent in London. Far-right party calls for Jews to join war on Islam. There's a big report on this from The Independent. I'll post this on the Hawthorne Report news links, and the story goes up. Another story which is already posted in the Germany section of the VNM forum. German neo-Nazis in paradise. I urge everyone to read that. It's a great, for the most part, fairly unbiased story about the National Democratic Party in Germany and the strides that they're making. The NPD won 7.3% of the vote across the state of Mecklenburg, Western Pomerania. That's a good report, fairly unbiased, from Spiegel Online. I urge everyone to read that. Story in The Telegraph in London, Last Stand for Zimbabwe's White Farmers. A tiny court in a shabby farming town in Zimbabwe was the setting yesterday for a last despairing attempt to stop President Robert Mugabe from evicting the country's few surviving white landowners. A new law about to pass Parliament will, in effect, give the regime power in the next 90 days to dispossess the last few hundred white farmers who still cling to their land. The report goes on, he said that the regime's application for the eviction of Nell and Terra Blanche families was, quote, incompetent, illegal, and an abuse of all sorts of rules and all sorts of laws. A constitutional amendment passed last year declared every acre of land that has ever been listed for seizure, about 6,000 white-owned farms in total, the property of the state. That move prevented the owners from having any recourse to the courts. This report goes on. We are operating on about 20% of the land we used to have, but we still produce many thousands of tons of crops and do so with government loans. So why do they want us to go? That's the question. Because basically you're dealing here with stupid niggers who haven't got a clue. We said this before on the Hawthorne Report and also on all V&M programs that Zimbabwe was once known as Rhodesia. Now, Rhodesia was the breadbasket of Africa. Rhodesia, when it was under white rule and the white farmers were given full rein to produce crops, they were feeding half of Africa. As it began, it was called the bread bowl. Rhodesia was called the bread bowl of Africa. And in this report, Daniel Nell stated, and I'll quote this again, we are operating on about 20% of the land, yet we're producing many thousands of tons of crops, and the government still wants the white people, who do stuff, who plant crops, who make crops grow, who feed these ignorant blacks. It just makes you think, you know, it just makes you think the question, why? When all these white farmers are driven off the land here, we all know what's going to follow. Starvation. And then all of us in the white industrial nations are going to have to put our hands in our pockets yet again to send huge shipments to these African nations, these illiterate, stupid African nations. And I predict it won't be long before we start seeing all these food shipments going directly to Zimbabwe. Everybody knew about Robert Mugabe, the Marxist Robert Mugabe, ape, for want of a better name. Everyone knew he was an evil Marxist guerrilla, in the true sense of that word, guerrilla. Yet the Western nations backed him. They backed his ZANU party, his Marxist ZANU party, came to power, and he's just following through with his threats. And he said even before he came to power that he intended to drive all the white people off the land, and in fact all the white people out the country. He's ethnically, the common term euphemistically used today is ethnically cleansing white people from this Zimbabwe nation. South Africa, white people are fleeing that country, and it's turning into an abject hellhole, and Zimbabwe is following suit. Everyone knew about Mugabe, yet all our nations, all the traitorous politicians who rule our nations, they're the ones who supported him financially. And here we have the end game, as they say in chess. The end game is this: white people are being driven off. About 6,000 white-owned farms in total, in property of this one state. It's unbelievable, and it just proves the traitorous intent of the people who are running all our nations. So those were the stories for the Hawthorne Report this issue. I'd like to thank everybody who tunes in, who sends us emails. I thank you very much. We're going to try and keep doing as more of these as we can. It's the only issue at the moment is time is pressing on us, and we don't have enough time to get these reports out to you as often as we'd like. But bear with us. We're going to try and do a lot more. We're going to try and do a lot more recording for VNN and bring out new stories and new reports for everybody to listen to. So stay calm, and thanks for all your support. This is James Hawthorne. I'll see you next time.
The Hawthorne Report is a production of Vanguard News Network Broadcasting.